I'm going to bring my iPad.
I'll do it.
I thought about it.
Got it. Testing?
Testing, testing.
Okay, it's 9 a.m. We're calling the meeting to order. Get a roll call.
Holder.
Present.
Carter. Ellen.
Here.
Jay.
Here.
Michael.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Richard.
But the M's are very well represented.
Need approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We're moving second. Open for any discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next thing on the agenda is the county and township motor fuel tax.
Public participation.
We don't need them.
Tracy's got part of the public.
since I'm not a part of the standing committee, I would like to welcome all of you back to our first standing committee meeting of the new structure.
Okay, repeat your...
Al Kurtz.
There you go.
Al Kurtz from Champaign. 4 years ago, I remember taking my first appointment was to this committee, and meeting this young lady over here on the end here, who is chair and is still chair, and I congratulate her on taking that responsibility once again. And if Lloyd was here, I would say the same for them in the leadership roles. And I want to wish everybody luck in this new structure that we have, and I know we'll all work for the best of the community. So welcome to the first new restructured committee, and it's great to be part of this this progressive move forward. Thank you.
And don't forget Jay.
Yeah, Mr. Vice Chair, when I started, right?
Water another bridge.
Yeah. Or spilt milk or something.
Yeah.
One on there.
What's that?
The blue one.
Oh, don't bring that up.
It's purple.
The bridge to nowhere.
Okay, next thing on the agenda is the county and township motor fuel tax claim for November and December of 2012.
There's really only one that Lorraine had questions about yesterday when we were talking. There's one in November and then again in December for open road paving. For County Roads 8 and 30. And the reason that's broken into two separate payments is that November and December are two different fiscal years. So we cleared out our motor fuel tax funds in that line item for that pay estimate number 3 in November, and then the next pay estimate for $717,000 in December is from the new fiscal year. And that particular project is we're getting truck access route program money, which is TARP money, in order to build the road to 80,000 pounds. Have we received that yet, Debbie? We haven't yet. So the reason that $717,000 comes out in 2013 is because we'll receive reimbursement from the state. So we may have to do an amendment to the budget, because it's kind of money in, money out, but it's not money that we hadn't planned on spending. It's just we're waiting for the reimbursement from IDOT. Most of the TARP projects that we've done in the past have been IDOT pays it, and then they send us a bill, and then we reimburse them. But since this one didn't have any federal money in it, it got reversed where we make the payments, and then they're going to reimburse us with that TARP money. So just kind of a unique way that we paid that pay estimate there to open road paving.
Move to approve.
Can I get a second? Okay, go for discussion, Chris.
Jeff, we did have a budget amendment last month for accepting that TARP money. I think it was for that project.
Yeah. Okay. But that December would be this year, because the budget goes December 1 to December 1. Have we received that, Debbie?
Yeah,
the TARP money?
We passed a budget amendment acknowledging it, but I thought that was to the previous year's budget.
It had to be to the previous budget year.
So we'll have to transfer that money into this year's. But we haven't received it yet.
No.
So these are the kind of things we deal with IDOT. We built the project in August. They should have sent us the money by now. So we have to accept the money in this year's budget because it's this year's project. But we'll have to take that money when we get it in 2013 and
okay.
do some maneuvers
okay.
in the budget.
I'll make sure, Deb, that we did that right. But I think yeah. we did that right.
Okay.
I'm sitting here thinking the same thing you are.
Okay. And number 98, that's your salary.
$87,000. Number 98. No. That's what we do is at the end of the year, we pay our engineers out of the highway fund from, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and then they submit a time card that shows which projects they've worked on throughout the year, and then we can bill that time to the motor fuel tax fund since those projects are funded through motor fuel tax. So the motor fuel tax fund ends up paying back the highway fund for the time that we work on projects that are funded through motor fuel tax.
Is that an annual fee? Or
no.
Is that something we see every month?
We don't do that
November,
every month.
It's
annual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's annual. Thanks.
Let's go one more question, Jeff. Where'd you find a flight to D.C. for
$225?
Yeah. Out of Chicago. I got to drive to Chicago to get it, but
well,
if you went out of Bloomington or Champaign, it was like $500.
I'd say that's what I've been experiencing lately.
Yeah.
Right. Congratulations.
Exactly.
Any more discussion?
Is there a second?
Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Okay. Item number six, Deb Busey had a whole bunch of the department heads do PowerPoints about our, you know, our particular department and so forth, and she posted them on YouTube in hopes that, I guess, you guys would take your free time and go look at those, and I know that's more difficult than if we just do it here. I actually went out on the YouTube site yesterday, and there was three people that had actually viewed it, and I was one of them. So I knew there wasn't very many people who had viewed it.
I didn't see a notice on that.
Yeah, really?
She gave us,
did anybody
she gave
see a notice on that?
I didn't either.
We
didn't
drive.
Did she give you a zip drive, too?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If you went in the car, then,
we
right?
Did you watch it? He gets the gold star.
Oh. It was the binder that we got at the last...
Oh, right.
Meeting at the Ilias building, which I don't
I
think I took
that
one.
Yeah, and it was slipped down in the pocket.
There.
Yeah. So anyway, instead of just watching, that one's kind of an odd one because we actually did a video and our voices behind it, and there's really no way to ask questions, you know, because obviously I'm not sitting there. So I'm not going to do the video, but I've got the PowerPoint that I used to do the video, and I was just going to take 20 minutes here and go through that because I know there's some people who have never been on the Highway Committee, some people have never been on the board. Even those who have been on the Highway Committee in the past, it may kind of, you know, answer some questions that you've had in the past but never had an opportunity to ask them. So I got to go back here to run the computer, but we'll go through this thing quick.
Good.
Jeff, I don't think the highway in that picture would pass IDOT muster.
That's a nice
dozen problems there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So remember, this was a video that I put, or a PowerPoint presentation I put together for use of this video presentation. So there's probably some stuff in here that isn't totally pertinent to do it here. But after the meeting, we're actually, for those who have time and want to stick around, we're going to take you guys on a tour of our facility here so you can kind of see our maintenance and our... not only our road maintenance equipment, but also we do all the fleet maintenance on the trucks and all the county's fleet. And then we'll show you the engineering department where we do that work as well. This is our road network in Champaign County. Obviously, not all roads out in the country are Champaign County highways. You see the and we'll go over the different colors a little bit later, but this is just the one that I used for this presentation. But there's a number of roads out there in the county that appear to be county highways but are actually unmarked state routes. There's even some township roads that are upgraded with asphalt pavement. But this is the basically 200-mile county highway network that we have in Champaign County. Can everybody see that? Do we need to dim the lights a little bit? Are we okay? All right, seeing that?
Hey, got a quick question. You had Route 9 up there. Isn't that in Ford County?
No. No, that's just on the county line. It's a mile south of the county line.
I thought 9 was right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry.
These are the people that we have working for us. My assistant, John Cooper. Tracy here to my right is my road foreman, office manager, and accountant, Debbie Wagner, taking the notes for us. We have another accounting assistant, Faith Cotton. She does all of our payments for construction projects that the engineers do as well. She's the one that works directly with the township highway commissioners when they're doing their programs and doing their payments to the contractors and the rock haulers and the oil spreading that they do. Three engineers, John Marker, Gosha, and Dan Leibarger, who are graduate engineers, professional engineers. I have two engineering technicians. Jamie Snodgrass does a lot of our work out in the field as far as inspections on bridges and roads. Damon is our proportioning technician. He does all of our testing of materials and that kind of work construction season. You can see we've got a number of maintenance workers there. Those guys are all under their own AFSCME union here. Kind of those are the guys that drive the trucks and do all the maintenance work on the roads. And then we have two mechanics. Jerry Sumberg is kind of our lead mechanic. And then Christopher Berry works with him and does a lot of the work on the actual fleet vehicles that the county owns. Actually, Jerry is paid through the highway fund, and Christopher Berry is paid through administrative services. He's actually a mechanic that is employed by us, but his primary job responsibilities are to take care of the fleet outside of the county highway department. So we pay his salary through the year, and then we send a bill to WC at the end of the year for reimbursement for his salary and all his benefits and so forth. Here's kind of the structure, the way that the highway department is set up. I'm at the top, and I've got John Cooper, my assistant, Tracy, my maintenance supervisor, and Debbie is our accountant directly underneath me. And then they're in charge of the folks that are underneath them in the flow chart there. We've got basically three funds that we really operate out of. We have a fourth fund that we really don't get much revenue into. We've got the County Highway Fund, and we'll go over these in a little bit more detail on a couple of future slides. But we got the County Highway Fund, the County Bridge Fund, the Motor Fuel Tax Fund, and we have our federal aid matching funds. And then we've got some other funds that we are able to draw from time to time. TARP funds, which is the money that we used up on the Dewey Fisher Road. SDR funds, which are federal funds that come from Washington through IDOT to the county for our use on roads. HSIP, which are Highway Safety Improvement Funds, those are the funds that we applied for and received for the Monticello Road Project, where we widened the shoulders and put in the rumble strips and the raised reflectors. EDP funds, those are Economic Development Program funds. We use those out of County Road 22 between Royal and going up towards Pinfield when the ethanol plant was supposed to be built there. We got some money to upgrade that roadway in anticipation of that ethanol plant, which never came, but we never had to get the money back, so we got an upgraded road out of it regardless of where the ethanol plant came. And then HPV funds, which are high priced bridges that were over $1 million, we have to apply to them specifically. They go into a pool, basically, where they're chosen based on the application that we made versus, you know, other applications from other counties and entities from around the state. So just to kind of break down the different funds that we have, the County Highway Fund is basically used as our operation fund. The majority of the money in that fund comes from property taxes, and we tax right now for highway funds at a tax rate of 0.053%. Statutory max is 0.1%, so we're at about half of the max that we can tax for our county highway funds. So we get about $2.1 million in property taxes. And then the $0.5 million transfers, that's the motor fuel tax fund transfers, like the one that we just approved at $87,000, whatever that number was, where we transfer money from the motor fuel tax fund into the highway fund to pay for our personnel. We do similar transfers with our equipment. We can charge our equipment hours that we use in order to do motor fuel tax approved types of projects and maintenance. We can charge the hourly rate that truck is worth from the highway fund to the motor fuel tax fund and get those monies into the highway fund so that we can use them for our operations and funding our personnel. It's also what we use to for fleet maintenance. The majority of our fleet maintenance, like I said, Christopher Berry is funded through the administrative services budget. So our time is actually not typically billed during our fleet maintenance if we're doing work for a department that's underneath the administrative services umbrella. But certain things such as we do Head Start buses and we do stuff for the nursing home, those are not under administrative services, so we bill them at an hourly rate for our mechanics fees. And we basically, whatever parts we need in order to do the work for whoever we're doing it for, we just bill those directly at cost. And we get those parts at, you know, about half price from what you can go down to AutoZone and buy yourself. So we bill those services. And also at least we do work for them as well.
Jeff, are you guys pretty busy with that, or are you looking for additional business?
We are about capped out. We just took on Head Start a few months ago, so now we have all their buses. And that really has kind of put us to our limit as far as what we can do. We could take on a few more vehicles, but anything that has a major fleet, the sheriff, how many vehicles the sheriff has? Sheriff's got 78. We take care of all of those. We take care of RPC. Head Start, Elias, the nursing home, the dog catcher, all of ours. I mean, we're probably talking, 150 vehicles for two guys.
That's excellent, Jeff.
Yeah. We don't do, we don't do full transmissions or engines. We just do general maintenance work from day to day that needs to be done, brakes and tires and oil changes and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
These outside funds like Head Start and other RPC funds, are you billing them for the maintenance?
Yes. Yeah. What's our billing rate? Is that $60 an hour? $30?
Yeah, that is $60. Yeah,
$5.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff, how are we doing on the fleet, the dump trucks? I remember we had to replace a couple of beds a couple of years ago, but I know we haven't used a lot of, but maybe recently with some of these snows. Is that fleet in good shape at this point?
It's getting a lot better. We're starting to put stainless steel
right
on all of our truck beds, which obviously is a good thing for our salt. Our trucks don't typically wear out because we use them too many miles. They wear out because of all the corrosion that happens underneath them. With our undercarriage wash that we have out in the shop and being able to do a better job of washing our vehicles, we're able to that a little bit more. We need to replace about one liter, basically, on average, in order to kind of keep them at a 10 to 12 year life.
What do they run now? About 120?
What was our last one? 125?
Yeah. 140?
top of it, you know, we budget for about $250,000 a year for equipment replacement. So one of those trucks is a little over half, and then, you know, we need to get pickup trucks and backhoes and all kinds of other equipment that we need to replace from time to time. So that number is holding pretty good for us as far as being able to stay on top of it. Our goal is just like stainless steel. You know, stainless steel does, you know, when that truck goes, it replaces what we haven't done yet.
Are you still buying it through the state, or?
Yes. Yeah, all of our trucks are off the state bid. Pretty much everything we do as far as replacement of vehicles is off of the state bid, and it's amazing. We just bought an Explorer for our assistant companies here last year, and I think the sticker price on that thing was above $40,000. We got it for $23,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't have all the dogs and whistles on it, but you get a four-wheel drive, vehicle for $23,000, that's a pretty good cost saving versus what you can buy off the lot.
Wow.
So our highway fund also, you know, funds all the lights and everything, heating buildings and that kind of stuff. So in our capital, that's our equipment purchases, basically.
So I want to talk to you when I get my next new car.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You'll be my broker.
Buy those personally for that price. Our county bridge fund is, we don't have any transfers that go into that per se. It's mostly property tax. We're taxing at a rate of 0.027% on our county bridge funds. The maximum statutory rate is 0.05, so we're about half of what we can tax on that one as well. The statute says that that money is to be used first to match funding with townships on township bridges. We've got a township bridge program that the state funds, obviously, to replace township bridges. We typically will do those projects. They allow us to use that money up to 80% of the total cost of the bridge. And we get $325,000 a year, some odd number like that, in our township bridge funds every year. Sometimes we'll do 50-50, sometimes we'll do 60-40, 80-20, whatever. You know, we need to make that bridge work, but the matching funds will always come from the county bridge funds in order to do that from the county side. Now, the township typically picks up 10% of their own township bridges because they also tax for bridges in their township, and then we'll split the engineering with them. If we hire a consultant to do the design work, we'll go 50-50 with them on that. We'll fund our 50% out of the county bridge funds for the engineering on that as well.
Jeff, that's what we're voting on today, that type of
yes.
project.
Yes, those Ogden Township
officials.
Yes. Yeah. And what we typically do on those minor projects, which is kind of the next bullet point there, you know, where we do a 4x4 box culvert or something like that, instead of hiring a contractor like the county does, a big contract, and hire a contractor to get the materials and put the materials in, and then we split it 50-50 with the townships. What we found out over the years is in projects of that nature, typically the materials are about half of the cost of the project. So we'll buy the materials directly. You know, we'll quote the materials from different material suppliers around. The county will pay for the materials, and then the Township Highway Commissioner will install them. And oftentimes he has to hire a contractor, but he can get a little pop guy that's, you know, the next door guy with a backhoe to do that kind of work. And then he sends us a bill for that, which oddly enough comes up to be exactly half the project cost. that's how we run those projects. Just a little help to the township so that they can make their money and their dollars and their time and stretch as much.
Jeff, are you going to take into account the new taxing on the wind turbines as part of matching funds under property taxes?
is about 600. I'm trying to remember the exact number on the breakdown of the taxing districts. About $600 out of the Ogden area per turbine per year will come to the township from the turbines.
Okay.
That's about 18 grand a year.
Yeah.
Will that be part of the offset on the matching funds? Do you have any idea on that? I have to talk, I'll have to talk to Stan Jenkins again just to make sure, but nothing's going to happen until next year.
Right.
But we should take that into account because there's going to be some monies coming out of that.
Right. Well, we know that there are some townships who obviously don't have as much taxing ability as other townships, and we try to, you know, oftentimes, let's say we do a bridge in a township like Kerr Township, who basically has no tax revenue.
Right.
And they have a very difficult time coming up with their 10%, which could be, you know, $20,000 to $25,000 on a project. We'll do a deal with them where they can pay us over 5 years, and we'll just do a kind of an intergovernmental quick agreement between the Township Highway Commissioner and the Highway Department that says you can pay us $5,000 a year over the next 5 years for the cost of that structure. Other townships like, you know, Muhammad, where all the rich people live, right?
Farmers.
I get my oil changed for free. $75 an hour.
And then, you know, whatever monies aren't needed for the township structures, we do use them for county highway bridges as well. We've got a bridge that we're doing up on County Road 42 this year where we're using county bridge funds to build that bridge. And then if we get any, we get federal dollars, you know, a kind of a yearly type of allotment of federal dollars that we let build up over the years, probably 5 or 6 years of federal dollars before we do a big type of federally funded township bridge or county highway bridge. And those are always 80-20, so if we do a, you know, $500,000 bridge, we need $100,000 out of the county bridge fund to fund that project. So we'll use this fund to match that 20% on those federal bridge projects as well. And we get about, roughly about $1 million a year, maybe $1.1 million in our county bridge funds, which, you know, if you think about how many bridges we have in the county, roughly 500 bridges, we need to replace 10 a year, you know, to be on a 50-year cycle, which is about how long a bridge lasts. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stay somewhere near that number. Some of the township bridges will last longer because they don't salt them. They don't have the traffic that we have. They might last 60 or 70 years. So this fund is doing us pretty well as far as the motor fuel tax funds. I don't know if everybody's aware of where the motor fuel tax money comes from. It's not a percentage of the actual dollars you pay at the pump. So whether gas is $5 a gallon or $2 a gallon doesn't matter to us. I mean, as far as how much money we get, it's 19 cents per gallon of the money that you pay at the pump when you pump your gas. And this is our biggest fund that we use for construction and engineering for our county highway projects. Whenever we do a large roadway project like we did the Fisher Road last year over the Cleveland, that was what we used to match that money. When we did Monticello Road, we used MFT monies to match the federal dollars and the HSIP dollars. This is the money that we use when we do any of our maintenance, whether it's crack sealing or steel coating or, you know, shoulder work, mowing of ditches, that kind of thing. And like I said, we do use this money for matching for special aid projects where we get an 80-40 type of match.
We've been talking, and you've been reporting to us over the last couple of years how this has been reducing
The
motor fuel tax. Now with the higher rates of gas mileage on cars with the new federal guidelines.
Right.
Now, this comes out of the state legislature.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any hope that they might want to raise that as the motor fuel tax starts to dissipate for almost all the community because of that? Is there any talk about raising this number?
A lot of talk in our ranks, but not any talk in the legislature. County engineers are always, you know, trying to work with their legislators to increase the motor fuel tax. Obviously, taxes are not anything that anybody wants to raise right now. Although, you know, the motor fuel tax is a true user's tax.
Right.
You use the roads, you pay motor fuel tax. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And if the motor fuel tax monies that we're getting aren't enough to keep the roads in sufficient shape for the users to use, then it would be obvious to me as an engineer that we need to raise the motor fuel tax. But those type of conversations have fallen on deaf ears over the last 10 years since I've been here as far as raising it goes. I mean, they'll do a capital program, and they'll give the counties a small portion of that.
Yeah.
But as far as a sustainable source of funding, we're having a very difficult time getting anywhere with those conversations. As a matter of fact, the last capital bill, the Illinois Jobs Now bill, for about the last, pretty much since I've been here, we've been at about $2.7 million a year in motor fuel tax funds. But that pot has dwindled as far as the actual revenue coming from motor fuel tax, and now they've used this Illinois Jobs Now money at $100 million a year to counties to kind of supplement the motor fuel tax fund and make it look like we're getting as much as we used to. But with our MFT money plus our Illinois Jobs Now money, now we're back to where we were 10 years ago. So once that money dries up, which is a couple of years down the road, we're going to be $300,000 to $400,000 below where we were back in about 2000 as far as the motor fuel tax funds go. So yeah, it's definitely going in the wrong direction for us. It's got to do with a number. It's not just people driving less mileage and having higher mileage vehicles. It's actually, there's a lot of money that's getting ciphered up, taken off the top to different things. And I'll show you that here in a flow chart that I got here in the next slide of kind of where that money goes before it even gets down to the local units of government for us to spend on the roads. But this is just kind of a pictorial flow chart of how the money gets down to us. I mean, it comes in through the gas pumps, and then it gets sent to the Department of Transportation and goes through our computer allotments. And our allotments are based on the number of registered motor vehicles in your county. So it's almost like a population thing. You know, obviously, more population, more registered motor vehicles. So Champaign County has a pretty decent population. You get into some of these counties where there's only 20 to 50,000 people total in the county, they're hurting pretty bad in motor fuel tax goes because they just don't have the population to get the motor fuel tax.
I've been telling you, Jeff, we've got to start buying beaters, parking them in a lot somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. We got to register. They can't just be sitting out there. They don't go around and count cars. They actually have to register the car with the state. And we do get a small portion of that, too, the motor vehicle registration to go into a fund that gets ciphered down to us, too. So you can see there, it comes to the local agencies. We actually do get interest on any motor fuel tax monies that we have in our account if we have any strong interest on, but the interest rates are as you know, about zero right now on that question. And then they're obligated for construction and maintenance of the county highways and township highways and municipals. And this is kind of a busy flow chart, but it shows the distribution of the motor fuel tax fund. There is a diesel differential of 2.5 cents that they pay in addition to the motor fuel tax fund in the state of Illinois, but all that money goes to the state construction account. It doesn't. None of that gets down to the motor fuel tax fund balance, which goes to the locals for construction. But you see, there's a lot of things that get taken off the top. You got the state voting act fund, which I guess they figure some fuel gets purchased by people who are using it in votes. The Great Crossing Protection Fund, which are the monies that we're tapping into actually to build the Olympian Drive structure over the railroad tracks out there and the Olympian Drive project. But that money gets, into a pot that gets kind of prorated to all the different grade crossings that need to be upgraded gets done, kind of taking all those pieces of the pie, it gets down to the state gets 45.6% and the locals get 54.4%. But you see in that 54.4%, that's because we're on the new computer.
Do it again.
I don't want to shop out.
No.
There we go. But the of that 54.4, the municipality is basically the half of it. And then you'll see counties over a million population. Well, guess who that is? It's not us. It's everybody up by Chicago. They get their 16.74%. And counties under a million split 18.27% of the 54.4%. And then the road districts get about 16% of that as well. The road districts are actually on a per mileage basis, so they count up all the miles of road district roads in the state of Illinois, and then they take that and split it by the number of miles that you have in your particular township. And our townships are right in the area of about 50 miles per township on the township road system. So it actually kind of sorts out that they, as a whole, of all the townships, get a similar piece of the pie that the county gets, but they have to split that between all the townships. So they get a pretty small chunk of the pie when it's all said and done.
So maybe silly questions, but so the money and taxes that the people in, that buy gas in Champaign County doesn't actually come back to the county.
Sure. In theory, because they split it by number of registered motor vehicles, it should kind of work out that we get back about what we put in. Now, some of that's going to go to the state. They're going to use it on 74 and 57 and 136 and those type of improvements. But in theory, it should kind of work out that we get back about what we put in, except for all the stuff that comes off the top.
But yeah, everybody who comes here to watch a Illini game or something and buys gas
doesn't do the slightest help.
We're not helping us.
Only the beer money.
Beer money.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that's the way it works out. It's not the greatest system in the world. It doesn't account for at all how many miles of county highways you have in the county highway system. It just literally accounts for the number of people. So, if we get our county highway system down to about 20 miles, we're still getting the same amount of money. We can have a heck of a system.
Yeah.
You can send them all over to the municipalities or some other governmental agency, but it seems like that's going the other way here in the last 10, 20 years. The state's wanting us to take over some of their roads, like the road that goes through Homer and over. That used to be a state route. I'd say 95% of the roads that we have on the county system at one point were state routes. And some of the old county highways that weren't really being used were turned over to the townships, and so it kind of just has some flows based on the where the population base is and who needs to get from where to where. So this is just a quick map of the state. This shows the regions and the districts. We're in IDOT District 5, which is in Region 3. The main office that we work with a lot is down in Paris, Illinois. Actually, District 5 is one of the lowest funded districts in the state. I don't even know how the district funding works exactly, but we've got a pretty good population base between McLean County and Champaign County and Vermilion County. Bloomington, Earl, Champaign, and Danville. So we do have a number of state highways, but it seems like District 5 always kind of comes in pretty low as far as the total funding to the state goes on the state project. So if you're driving around Champaign County, and obviously this is the Champaign County route marker, it's whatever county, Lassen County, whatever that is. But if you think you're on a county highway and you don't see one of these signs, you're not on a county highway. Now, some of our signs are a little bit faded. Some of them are quite blue, some of them are kind of purplish because of some of the signs we bought. But nevertheless, if you don't see one of these route markers, you're not on a county highway. And there are, like the road that goes south out of St. Joe, and trucks. Obviously, there's state trucks running around, and there's city trucks, both the Champaign and Urbana, and township trucks. Ours has that little emblem on the side. It's kind of hard to see because it got caught in the flash, but this is just what one of our trucks look like. So we maintain about 200 miles of county highways. This is that same map we had previously. And we talked about the minor roads. And this map actually comes from our paper management system. And the different colors are basically what shape the road is in, with the blue being the best, and then green, yellow, orange, and then red. We're trying to do the best that we can to keep all of our roadways up in that PCI value, which means pavement condition index, which basically measures the roughness of the road and the number of cracks on the road and the overall condition, obviously, of the road. County Road 830, which is up in the top left-hand corner, we just redid that road this last summer, so that will turn either to green or blue in our next evaluation. County Roads 11 and 32, which goes through Flatville and then on to Gifford, that was done in 2011, and we haven't rerun the roads. We'll be rerunning this year since we did that major upgrade, so that one will turn to green or blue. County Road 22, the orange part, north of Penfield, that's our last seal coat road that we have on the county highway system. We're going to recycle that road this summer and put a thin hot mix overlay on that, so that'll turn into a blue road.
That's pretty good.
And then County Road 1, which is the Dewey Fisher Road there that goes, which is basically Mattis extended, that's in the works to be do a safety improvement as well as an upgrade to the roadway, hopefully in the summer of 2014. So that one will get to the green or blue area. And then County Road 23 up on the north end, which hooks up with County Road 9, that's our next priority after we get done with County Road 1. So this chart, by the time we get those upgraded, there may be a road down in the southern district that turns into a yellow. So we're trying to stay on top of things. We manage our system. The consultant that we use runs our system every 2 years and does this pavement condition index. They got a big semi truck that they run, which measures the deflections in the roads, and then they have vans that have multiple cameras on them that take pictures of the roads every 20 feet or so as they're driving down the road, where they can count the cracks and do a condition index on our roads. And we use that not only to see which roads we need to upgrade as far as doing a total replacement of the roadway, but what roads we need to do maintenance on, crack sealing and seal coating. We're trying to do a better job so that our roads last longer, so that we don't end up with having to have 20 miles of red or orange roads that we need to get back and rebuild. We're trying to get everything to the point where, it's in that green area. We're shooting for a PCI value on our county system as an average of around 70. Right now we're at like 72, 73 as far as PCI value on our roads. So it's been a very handy and useful tool for us to kind of keep up on our roads. And this summer, we're going to do a lot of maintenance on our roads, probably 20 to 25 miles of what we call boiler slag seal coats, which is the black slag that we put down the roads with the oil to kind of help refresh that top and seal up the cracks and extend the life of the road. But,
Hey, Jeff, can you comment on that map? We see that map occasionally. At the county board, and there's been some confusion over it because it doesn't actually show the county boundaries. It goes a couple miles outside the county.
Right.
I'm wondering, is it possible on that map to put a dashed line around the county boundary or shade the area that's outside the county?
Yeah.
I don't know if you set up that map or if that just comes out of the software, but it would be a useful request to the consultant if they're going to generate that map that it identify where the county boundaries are, because it looks like, why do these roads just go off in the country and end while the end is there? They're at the edge of the country.
Yeah, sure.
It might help people who don't, have a great grasp of the geography of the county understand
what's going on. You bet. I'll try to understand that a little bit.
mean, that one like to the southwest of Icefield there that appears to just end. I mean, it ends because it turns west into Piatt County, but
that's right.
You don't know that just looking at the map.
Yep. Okay. Gotcha. We do all the bridge inspections for all the townships, the small villages, and obviously the county bridges, which equates to over 500 bridges. And we, based on a federal mandate, which is, you know, comes through the state and down to the county, based on the condition of the bridge, we either have to inspect these bridges every 2 or 4 years. And you have to, you know, all of our engineers are certified National Bridge Inspection Standard bridge inspectors, which means they take a 2-week course and they take a day refresher every couple of years to refresh themselves. But, you know, we're probably doing at least 100 or 200 bridges a year as far as going out and inspecting bridges. We have to fill out a form, take pictures, send that all down to IDOT. They put it in their database. It's tracked by the FHWA. If we get the length limit, which means we're, you know, we did inspect the bridge at the proper 2-year or 4-year cycle. We get a no from IDOT. We get in trouble. So this is something that they're very serious about. Obviously, with the collapse of the bridge up in Minneapolis a few years ago, it kind of put some heightened awareness on doing bridge inspections throughout the country. So not that, you know, a catastrophic collapse of a 60-foot bridge is probably obviously not going to have near the effect that the Minneapolis bridge did, but nonetheless, they put a similar type of emphasis on us keeping up on our bridge inspections. We also oversee the design and construction of all the bridges, like we talked about before. That's about 8 to 10 bridges a year, whether they're township, county, or small villages. We work with engineers to do the design. We oversee the bidding process, and we also go out and inspect the construction of those bridges as well. And the bridges can be relatively complicated, like this one where we have a steel beam concrete deck with lots of reinforcement in it, or it can be as simple as the precast, pre-stressed, deck beam bridges where they haul the beams out to the job on a truck and you pick them off with a crane and set them on top of the piers and abutments. So we do all kinds of different types of structures. We've really gone to this type of structure on our county system because of the fact that these are a lot less susceptible to salt damage because you're pouring the concrete and it's a lot tighter. You use an epoxy rebars, whereas the townships typically will do the precast pre-stress because they don't do as much salting and they're a little less expensive and obviously quicker to construct than a bridge such as this where you're going to kind of one piece at a time from the ground up. We talked about doing the design and construction of improvements on the county highway system. We've got about 200 miles, so if we can get 8 to 10 miles of roads per year, we're on a 20 to 25 year rotation on those roadways. And we really feel with our crack sealing, our seal coating, and doing the maintenance work that we began doing in the last 5 to 10 years that we can make these roads typically last, hopefully 20 years, and then we can keep on this similar cycle of needing to upgrade. And this, the equipment that you see here is a process that we've been kind of ahead of the curve with in Champaign County, where we're doing a lot of recycling of our roadways. Instead of milling off the old roadway, hauling it away, hauling in new hot mix asphalt, and laying it down, which not only is not the greatest thing for the environment and very green, but obviously those cracks from that old pavement underneath start to reflect through, and it just is not a fix that lasts a long time. What we're doing is we're actually going in and picking up the old asphalt pavement, running it through this machine you see here to the right, which actually puts new oil back into the pavement. It comes out the back end, and then the machine to the left is a paving machine where they pick it up and put it back down. And that gets rid of all your old crack problems. You don't haul any of the asphalt away. You're just reusing it back on the roadway, and then we come through and put a structural hot mix asphalt overlay over the top. And we've had really good success with this, and we really think that this definitely gives us dock out in the hall, you know, have all those trucks on the road, haul the rock in, haul the asphalt out, haul the asphalt back in. So this is the process that we used on the Fisher's Cleveland Road. We used it on the road that we're going to be constructing going north of Pennsylvania next year. We've used it on kind of Road 20. So we feel like this is kind of the way of the future, and we're kind of running with it here.
Is this done by county employees, or is this done by county?
It's this milling machine you see here actually comes over from Germany. It's imported, and it's about $1.2 million just to buy the machine. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have the need, obviously, to have a piece of equipment sitting around like that. They keep that machine going pretty much from May through October. That company does. They're a local company out of Decatur that's been doing recycling work for us, and then typically we'll get it over the road or across construction and do the overlay. So it's not, we're not bringing in people from New York or California to do this work. We have local contractors that are, you know, keeping it running local.
But from an economic standpoint, it doesn't make sense to do that ourselves. We don't do enough miles.
Right. As you know, we assist the cities of Champaign and Urbana joint construction projects. This is actually a picture from Laird Avenue, right out here where we're reconstructing. We've also done Curtis Road as a joint project, Windsor Road, working on Olympia Drive, working on Lincoln Avenue. So typically in those types of projects, we supply an engineer to help do the construction inspection on those roadways. And the lead agency, whether it's Champaign or Urbana, you know, we'll hire a design engineer and we'll work with them with the approvals and so forth, and then we'll supply an engineer on site. But, you know, you get into those Curtis Road projects where those projects last 3 or 4 years, we've got a guy, you know, pretty much out of the office living in a construction trailer for, you know, that period of time helping out the cities with those types of improvements. We talked about this, our maintenance operations. You know, we don't have a distributor and a chip box. We do haul our own materials to the site, but we contract typically with LA Construction out of town here to do this type of work, just because it's not cost effective for us to have our own distributor and our own chip box. But we, like I said, we are shooting to do it about 25 miles this year. We're actually hauling our own materials. The rock material that we have in this area is really soft. The limestone just breaks down, particularly on high traffic roads like we have on our county highway system. So we're starting to use wet bottom boiler slag, which we used to get from Christian County from a power plant over there, but the EPA got in a fight with the supplier for another reason out in Pennsylvania, and we ended up being cut off of that source. And now we're actually hauling this material out of Pekin with our own forces during the wintertime and stockpiling it. It makes for a nice black surface. Actually, you drive down some of the roads that we've done this boiler slag seal coat on, you really think we've done a hot mix overlay on the roadway, because it not only seals up the cracks, you know, obviously with oil, but the material that we're using is very fine and it's very dark in color. So it makes the center lines and the edge lines really pop out at you, and it does a really nice job of giving that appearance that the roadway, you know, is kind of relatively fresh to do.
So it's really essentially cinders. And what's boiler? I don't know what boiler slag is.
It comes from the burning of coal. So it's all the stuff at the bottom of the coal fired plant that comes out. We've got some back there in the back, but it's very small material. It is a cinder, but it's much smaller than a typical cinder like we used to put on the roads when we do it for, you know, snow and ice control. Uh-huh. It's very, very fine material. And we found that it just works very well. And then the townships do their own seal coating and rock lettings, and we assist them. They do a lot of that work with them as far as setting up their maintenance plans. Actually, the townships
fine looking squad car in the port.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we didn't repair that one, it's been kind of, that, they brought it into us after it flipped over or whatever we did. I think just to strip it down and get rid of it, more or less. And we actually put in, not in all vehicles, but we do some of their lighting bars, you know, and we put in this iron lights and all that kind of stuff too, if we have time to do that as well.
We take a true factory, you'll see there's a squad car back in there.
So basically, it has anything to do with engineering or maintenance, we're typically involved. Like I said, I'm really encouraging other board members who aren't on the highway committee to come down to the highway department and see what we're all about, so they kind of understand, you know, when things come before the board, what the highway department does. Is, I think some people have a misconception of what our jobs and responsibilities are here.
Jeff, how do you coordinate between the townships and the county?
As far as...
Well, like, you know, you showed the map about the county roads.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing, like, snow removal and...
They actually do their own snow removal.
And, but you have to... I mean, you traverse the county.
Yeah, just, yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm. How do you work with the highway commissions as far as snow plowing? I mean...
They're pretty much on their own. They don't want...
A lot of time township will wait till the county and the cities go through, and then the road commissioner will come through on their side, because I live on one of those roads.
And they don't typically salt.
I mean, no.
Very few of them.
No, Chris they just plow.
Yeah, but most of them don't salt. You'll see some of these guys might come and get 10 tons of salt from us for the whole winter.
Yeah.
You know, in a winter, we'll use 3,000 tons of salt, and they use 10 tons. So that tells you the difference of the type of...
Well, in our township, they use that water and salt mixture or something.
Yeah, salt brine solution. Yeah.
I mean, they're out. I mean, they're pretty aggressive about that.
Yeah, but you live in a more urbanized township, a Champaign township. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just helps the... We make that, you know, we've got our salt dome over there, and we've got the shed next to the salt dome. That actually used to be our salt dome many, many years ago, and we moved it to that. And that's where we have a salt brine generator in there. And we sell that for what? How much a gallon, a dime?
Basically, they give us the salt, which is very minimal. Liquid salt, maybe for the Champaign, we started using it.
Yeah.
We've been using it for 15 years. It's very cheap. We mix a little salt. We go to that.
Makes it stick to the roads.
Yeah.
You know, it really helps us out. And we also use, what do we use on the calcium chloride on the bridges?
Yeah. Oh, no, he's aggressive with it because he's out all the time.
He does a great job. And he's very on top of things. And he's not always in here, but I bet we see him every couple weeks, don't we? I mean, he's... Some of these highway commissioners, literally, I've been here, you know, almost 10 years, and I've probably seen them two or three times because they're way out in the middle of nowhere, and they don't have any need to come in here. But guys like that, you know, Jim Prather and Vanner, Keith and Champagne, we see them quite a bit. And, you know, if they have issues with roads or plowing or anything, we try to work with them the best that we can. I think they would tell you that we do a pretty good job of trying to help them out whenever we can. All right. Okay. That was a little longer than I anticipated, but hopefully everybody got something out of that as far as knowledge of the highway department. So we'll move on to number 7 there. This is a petition and resolution from Ogden Township. This is one of those 50-50 deals being petitioned by Ogden Township Highway Commissioner. It's a $22,000 replacement of a culvert, and we've got the petition there and the resolution, which appropriates 50% of the funding for that project in Ogden Township.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Open for discussion. Seeing that, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Then we have a very similar project, same township, item number 8, which is a $30,000 culvert replacement and a resolution for 50% of the funding for
make
that
motion
project.
To accept that.
Second.
So moved and second. Couple for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Next one. The county board gave me the award authority for the township rock letting simply because these are basically approved by the township. Somebody has to do the award, and instead of ever in every township, award them individually, which could be kind of a disaster. We bring them all to the county board for award, but the county board gave me the authority to award the township MFT rock prices. And so you've got in your packet there just a bid tab, although it's a little bit small because it ended up on 8.5 by 11, showing you all the different stones and the suppliers for all the different townships. The majority of them came in underneath our estimate, and we basically raised our cost by about 5% over last year's cost, and that's what we used as our estimate. But you'll see a goodly part of the rock comes out of Tuscola Stone. Even the ones where Tuscola Stone wasn't the low bidder, we have a trucker that's probably hauling that material out of Tuscola Stone. So that's where the majority of our aggregates come from. Some of them come out of Fairmont. If the highway commissioner specifies a specific kind of rock because he specifically wants to get it out of Fairmont because their rocks are actually a little bit harder than the rocks that come out of Tuscola and a little bit cleaner most of the time. But the majority of it comes out of Tuscola, and everybody was relatively happy with their bids, and they're being hauled in right now. The reason we bid this in November and try to get it let quickly is because, and awarded, is because they get a lot of these farmer guys that don't have anything to do in the wintertime to haul rock. You know, and they do it for a really, really cheap price. So the earlier we can get that awarded so they can start hauling that stuff and get it in, the better off, you know, the better prices we can get out of that.
Is there a reason why Ludlow Township isn't? I don't see Ludlow in here.
Either Kenny didn't. Ludlow, okay, yeah. He uses all of his motor fuel tax money for oil,
yeah.
And then he just buys rocks with his tax money.
Kenny Duren?
Yep.
Yeah, he's my commissioner.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
Because it's odd, I'm like,
what? Yeah, you'll see him on the oil letting, but not on the rock
letting.
Okay,
cool.
That's typically the way he does business, so.
Motion to approve.
There isn't any, this is just for informational purposes. I just wanted you guys to know that when you give me the authority to award something, I like to bring it back to you so that you see I didn't award something that was 50% over what we thought it was going to be or something ridiculous like that. Item 10 is the Lake of the Woods Road speed limit ordinance. Mr. Jay and I were talking about this prior to the meeting as far as the bridge over I-74 on Lake of the Woods Road has been down to one lane for a couple of years. IDOT has had signals up there, bringing it down to one lane for a couple of years because of the deterioration of that bridge. It's actually an IDOT-owned bridge. It's not a county-owned bridge, thank God. But it's supposed to be on the January letting, which would be this month for IDOT, and hopefully be replaced here this coming summer. And they're going to replace the bridge and also put on walking bike path that the Village of Mahomet had built from Route 150 up to the Lake of the Woods Park. But they didn't build it over the bridge because the bridge was going to be replaced. So the bridge is due to be replaced with a bike path alongside of it. The bridge is designed at 35 miles per hour by IDOT. The current posted speed out there is 40 miles an hour, so obviously we don't want a 40 mile an hour speed zone over a 35 mile an hour bridge. So they've asked us to pass an ordinance to drop that speed limit down to 35 prior to the construction of the bridge. So this ordinance does that.
The only thing I'm kind of wondering about, and many people will understand this, is they're automatically, are they going to be ready to see it
immediate. People go flying through there.
Well, they're not going to fly through there anyway, but I think that I'm sure they'll sign it.
Oh, yeah, we'll sign it as soon as the ordinance is passed.
Well, it's going to make some more money.
And it's got a light on it, so it's not like you're right. It's going to depend on which way you're going.
But this is something that the Village of Muhammad has been kind of on us for the last 3, 4, or 5 years to really get those speed limits reduced out there. Now, are people going to violate it? Sure they are. But
not Muhammad. We don't break the law.
I got to call Nick after this meeting's over. Let him know.
That's why they have all blue lines in there.
That's a good time when the bridge is one lane, and you know that area should be like 35 with all the parking and everything out there.
Yeah, I actually find it kind of hard to believe that somebody could get over that faster than 35 mile an hour anyway, but I guess they can just about do anything.
Yeah, they can. I mean, we reduced the speed limit on 10 Cup Road here last year down to 40. From 45. Now, I know that's a straight shot, and people just, but that was by request of the Village of Muhammad that we try to get the speeds reduced out there. We can post the speed limit signs, but if nobody's out there enforcing them, you know, they can drive whatever speed they want to, I guess.
Well, I assume that they can enforce that.
Yeah, somebody enforce.
If they want to make some money, you can just see them all surprised that all of a sudden it's 35 miles an hour, but that's okay.
Well, with the bridge being out right now, it's probably pretty difficult to get going much faster between 150 and 10 Cup because you got to stop at the bridge and go through. So if we get it posted here over the winter, hopefully once the bridge opens, they'll at least have seen those signs a few times driving through there. And then we'll see how it goes from there.
All right, guys.
So, is that, we get that one then? Is that a motion?
Approved? No, I haven't done a motion.
Yes,
sir. Yeah, no, it's a motion and a second.
We just need to vote.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, then.
I apologize, but I don't think we have to vote on anything else.
Nope,
we?
That's
I
it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, do you want to listen to the old lesson and drive up there?
So, the Olympian Drive project, we're moving along, although a little slower than we had hoped. We're in the Illinois Commerce Commission's judicial process right now with the administrative law judge, which is a process that they have to go through in order for the administrative law judge to make a recommendation through the Illinois Commerce Commission, so the Illinois Commerce Commission can make an order to spend the money from the Great Crossing Protection Fund. We've got a group of interveners, as you all know, that have been, you know, against this project from the beginning. We have done our testimony on behalf of the cities of Champaign and Urbana about the project to the Illinois Commerce Commission. We've closed that portion of the hearings, and now hopefully within the next month or so, the administrative law judge will hear the testimony from the interveners, and then in February make some kind of decision. I don't foresee there's a very, very, very small chance that he would say that the project isn't needed. That's basically what he has to say. Either we should build the bridge or we shouldn't build the bridge. That's his ultimate, basically, ruling that he needs to make. So far, in the hearings and during the discussions that we've had, and I've been over there, it seems like 6 or 8 times to these hearings with the administrative law judge, it seems like there's a very high probability that it's going to go through. Then once the project is approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission, then we can actually put it on a bid date with IDOT and get the project bid. I've got the right-of-way negotiations are basically done. The Squires have, you know, agreed on the $35,000 an acre. Jim Heimberger has agreed on the $35,000 an acre. We have signed agreements between them and us on both of them. We're just waiting for the lawyers to draw up the actual sales contracts that need to be signed. And there's going to be a little verbiage in there that says if the Illinois Commerce Commission does not approve the project, then the sale becomes null and void, basically. But we're trying to get those contracts put together so that we can get them signed and be done and so forth with the right-of-way. But we've gotten to the point where everybody has agreed on the conditions anyway. So that's where we're at. In a perfect world, the administrative law judge makes a ruling in February. We make the payments for the right-of-way in March. We certify everything to IDOT in April. We're on a June letting, which means that the project would probably begin August to September of 2013. It'd be a two-year project, so it'd be done by 2015. And then at kind of a similar time frame to that one getting done, then the Lincoln Avenue project would move ahead with the tie-in from Lincoln Avenue. That would be a year-long project. So by the end of 2015, 2016, we'd have Olympian Drive to Lincoln Avenue and then tied down to old Lincoln Avenue. And then that piece of that project would be complete. So, and I would hope that since we've already had, you know, all these negotiations for right-of-way along Olympian Drive, that those similar types of costs would hold up for the Lincoln Avenue project as well, as far as the right-of-way purchasing goes.
Yes. For the benefit of the new members, I will mention that although it appears from what you say that the negotiations is all over, we as the Highway Committee need to be very careful because Stan had gotten a little trouble, not in trouble, but inappropriately had people calling him some of the folks that was against the project, and he was advised that while they were in negotiations with us, it wasn't appropriate for us as individuals to be intervening in that. Now, we have a responsibility to our constituents, but not to get too involved. So that issue should be passed by now then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Anything's possible until you get a contract signed.
Oh, yeah.
So how soon do you think those contracts can be signed?
Well, the City of Urbana is the lead agency, and their attorneys have turned it over to a private attorney, which obviously slows the process down. But we literally, we have a signed agreement with all of the Squire family, signed by all three parties in the farm agreement for the stipulated price. And we've had a negotiation session post signing of that to talk about the other small stipulations that they want. So two of the three squires want the project, as you know. One of them was one of the interveners. I think if she turned on it now, it wouldn't be good for her and her family situation. So I think we're pretty solid with the negotiations and the signed agreement. But obviously, until it's signed, sealed, and delivered, and the City of Urbana has cut them a check for $600,000 or whatever the number is, it's not totally done and clean. But I'm hoping we have to certify the right-of-way to IDOT by April in order to be on the June letting. And I've actually been sending an email once a week to the City of Urbana's attorney asking him, can we please continue to move forward with this? And that's about as much as I can do. I got it to this point, and now they've kind of taken over the reins as far as the contract goes because we didn't want to use the state's attorney to do that work. Well, they didn't have the time.
If you feel like you're not getting sufficient attention, let me know.
Okay.
I'll rattle some cages over there.
Okay. Okay, did everything slow down after the city lost their city, manager? Then Bruce?
That was long ago. I don't know. Heck, that was, what, 3-4 years ago?
I can't quit. I'll be back.
Yeah. So, no, I have a very good relationship with the City of Urbana's public works people. Bill Gray's wonderful to work with, and we get along very, very well. But, as you know, whenever you get another piece of the pie in there, and lawyers and so forth, things tend to come to a grinding halt to some extent.
So, I like Bill Gray, too. I think if you and him could have handled it by yourselves, you wouldn't have had all this I appreciate your extra efforts because it did appear for a while that we were dragging our feet, and that wasn't the case.
Right.
But I know that you give it your diligence. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question about
sure.
the timing? So to get the bridge moving, it sounds like Lincoln Avenue takes us is after the bridge. Is that
right.
They can't run concurrently, or is that just a...
Well, the money actually is not there in the same years. Because both projects have some federal money in them, And IDOT only gets so much federal dollars in District 5 per year, so they don't have the money to run them concurrently. But there's likely to be a stipulation in the Illinois Commerce Commission order that we can't open the bridge until Lincoln Avenue is complete. I would imagine that might be part of their order, because that's been one of the things they've talked about as far as safety. Do we want this beautiful new, you know, wide open Olympian Drive project feeding into a little township Lincoln Avenue road that really can't handle the traffic? So it's likely that they wouldn't be opened until both pieces are done.
So that makes my case, Jeff. We should have done Lincoln first. It's been there since...
Right.
When was it? 1903 or something?
Never mind. I wasn't there.
I think it was in their Urbana Comprehensive Plan from 83 or whenever the previous revision of their Urbana Comprehensive Plan was, I think, had that line in there going up to Lincoln. And
well, when we done the zoning ordinance, which I believe was in 1972, that whole area up there they had designated as industrial, and we knew that if that was going to fly that we didn't have adequate roads. That's 72, you know. Yeah, so we've kind of drug our feet, too, although... I think the reason that didn't materialize is once we designated it, we being the county, as light industrial, the price of the ground because of real estate people elevated so high that nobody would buy it. But
I agree with him. It says it'd be Lincoln first, and I guess what finally got everybody off the dime was this money being available for that bridge.
Yeah.
So I guess we're doing the bridge first because the money was there for the bridge.
Right. Right, I mean, that bridge is $9 million of the Illinois Commerce Commission money. There's no way we could have built that without that.
Right. Is there much chance of us not getting that now?
I think it's as slim can be. You know, I don't think they have a very good case. And the administrative law judge has really narrowed it down to, we're not talking about Lincoln Avenue, we're not talking about Olympian Drive, we're talking about whether there needs to be a bridge over the railroad tracks. And... you know, everybody, it's obvious that you're not going to build a road with an at-grade crossing across three or four tracks up there with the kind of traffic we're talking about on Olympian Drive.
Well, there's no overpass. There's no non-interstate overpass over that railroad between Washington Street and Grand Tool.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
And if you go up, I mean, I'd take Fort Harris Road.
Actually, sorry, Washington Street to Paxton, I guess, if you're only looking at non-interstate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Route 136, I'm sorry, goes under. So, yeah, Rantoul to Champaign, there's no bridge there. I think the arguments as far as emergency vehicle access and stuff are pretty compelling.
Yeah, even, you know, you go south of 74 in Bradley and try to get across there, and you hit a train. You probably hit trains all the time, don't you, down there, Larry?
Yeah, every time you get somewhere important, train to come across.
Yeah. Last item, We've got a part-time engineering position that's been open for quite a few years, and there's a gentleman who's at IDOT now who wants to come to work for Champaign County, and he's very up on GIS, geographical information systems, and what we want to do is bring him on as a part-time employee. And John Marker, who's been here for 40 years?
Close.
Yeah. He's going to retire next year, or actually this year, and I talked to Deb Busey about being able to take a part-time position and filling a full-time position once somebody retires, because we've got a guy who fits the bill for us perfectly. He's been a field engineer, he's been a traffic engineer, he's been a sign engineer, he's done everything at IDOT during his career. He was actually our field engineer for Champaign County for a number of years, so... we're going to bring him on as a part-time employee, and then when John retires, move him into full-time so that we get the best person that we can get here to do the work that we need to do. So I just wanted to kind of let you know.
I'd be a little concerned about that, because the only two people I know from IDOT was Maxwell and O'Connor, and I don't know if we can stand another one of those. Oh, Maxwell left, didn't he?
We'll have to play the tape next week.
Jeff, I guess the only issue with that is if it's do we normally have to advertise those full-time positions?
I asked Deb that, and she said as long as you have somebody on staff part-time, and it's not a union position at all, she said as long as he fulfills the requirements, we can move him into full time. Because I asked her specifically. I told her the situation.
Do we have to advertise a part-time position?
No, we've never advertised a part-time position. We always, I mean, we've hired part-time people for
it's 10 years.
It's
not the best way to do things.
Yeah, I got to talk to Deb about that just to make sure that we're good. But, obviously we got the right person for the job. That sounds
right.
Fine, but we got to be careful we're not, doing under-the-table
right.
Hiring.
Right, okay. All right. So, items on the consent agenda. Pretty much everything you voted on, right?
There's a thing except the engineering position.
Yeah, that's not a vote really anyway, because that's in our...
Your motion
to adjourn. 7, 8...
All the business.
10. Okay. For those who have a few minutes, we'd like to show you around the highway.
Real quick, Chris brought up a point about the comprehensive plan. When was that last updated?
Urbana's was done in 2005, I believe. I think I was on city council, I shouldn't have passed that. And Champaign's, similar time frame, I think. Urbana's plan was to do it updated every 5 years. So I think they updated it in 1983, and then they updated it in 2005. So that's a long 5 years.
Yeah. My comment about that is maybe our committee might want to reacquaint themselves or acquaint themselves with the comprehensive plan so that we can kind of see what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
so that we know, can kind of look down the road. Because you're talking, the stuff you're doing is 1 to 2 years down the road, so that we have a bigger picture of what's going on.
The county doesn't have one, right? We don't have a comprehensive plan.
Kuwait has one. Our Metropolitan Planning Organization, RPC. That's who we kind of use as our planning services.
And Champaign's got one. Urbana's got one. Rentoul. I don't know any other. There's a few other communities with zoning ordinances, so I don't know if they have to have a comprehensive plan for that or not.
Mahama might have one, but if they do, I'm not sure.
But I think it might be just beneficial for mm-hmm. us so that, we have a good understanding of a work, some working document that when you're, when you're planning a year or 2 years down the road, that
right.
we have an understanding of it.
Then you have a five-year plan.
We do have a five-year plan, yeah. I mean, through our pavement management system, and I can bring that next time. I mean, we set out a five-year plan of work. Now, I'm not going to say that fourth year, that third year doesn't change from time
sure.
to time because needs pop up and needs go away, but we do have a five-year plan. It's just not always one that we totally follow.
Well, even the comprehensive plans have changed on us.
Oh, yeah.
That the municipalities have had, they have a right to reprioritize depending on what's going on.
But I think our committee, so as it how it affects highways, might be
mm-hmm.
just a good information.
Or bridges.
To, to look at down the road.
Yep.
Okay, anything else? Let's go back to it.
All right.
Okay. Jeff, I'm going to have to pass on the chair today.
I think you've been here before.
I've been here before.
Okay, it's always good to see you.
With my pleasure.
We need our coats.
No. So we keep her at least 60. Right?
You need your concealed weapon.
Though.
I think they can see the call came from the road.